I want to reiterate what Casey said. Thank you so much for your kindness, your notes, your treats, all the stuff you've given to us this month for Pastor's Appreciation. What a blessing. Thank you so much to each and every one of you. Thank you for your prayers. You know, we need that about as much as anything. And so thank you for that too. I forgot to mention in the first service, but let me mention it. A lot of you know Pastor Salek. He's been with us from time to time for the last 12 years probably. Well, they had a crusade yesterday in Pakistan, and he asked me earlier in the week, he actually sent me a text and asked to that I would pray for safety because they live in a little different atmosphere than we do. And they had this crusade yesterday in one of their cities. This is already Sunday night there, but it happened on Saturday. And Tim showed me a text that he got this morning from Pastor Salek. And, of course, there was tens of thousands of people there. They are hungry for the good news. They are hungry for the gospel of Jesus. And Tim got a little correspondence from Salek this morning and said 20,000 people gave their life to Christ yesterday in that crusade. Glory to God. God is at work, friends. God is at work, and I just give him praise when I hear those kinds of things. Could he or couldn't he? Part six. When I started this series, I didn't really know where we were going to end up, and I'm not sure we're done yet. We might be, we might not be. Depends, I suppose, on what the Lord impresses upon my heart this week. But next week, we're going to have communion, and so I think I'll have a little different direction. But I told the earlier service, I don't know if this has happened for you, but it sure happened to me. Since that first Sunday when I shared with us where this all comes from in John 11:37, I can't really get that verse out of my mind. You know the story. Those of you that are here that day, or you know the story of Lazarus. Lazarus died. Jesus is standing at the tomb of the deceased. He weeps. And the Jews that were there said, look how he loved him. And the other Jews that were there said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind kept this man from dying? That's the question that keeps going through my mind. And I think the reason it keeps going through my mind is because we got a few questions of our own. Amen? And so I keep thinking of this week after week after week. And things, I see things, and Casey is right, the phone rang and rang and rang this week with heavy stuff. People, emergency surgeries, death, new cancer diagnoses, and this question keeps going through my mind. Could he or couldn't he? And I know the answer, and you know the answer, because we've been through five sessions, and today we're going to go through another one. But I keep thinking about this question, and I think the reason I think about it is because we have the same question. We have the same question in our journey of life. When we don't see the answer, or we saw God move in one case, and yet he doesn't seem to be working in mine, we have the same questions. And so as I was thinking about that question this week, I thought of the story of Joseph. And I know that you know the story of Joseph. You know it as well as I do. Probably some of you know it better than I do. But I thought of the story of Joseph, and I thought, I'm just going to revisit that story. If you got your Bibles, we're going to start in Genesis 37. We're going to touch on a little bit of 37, a little bit of 39, a little bit of 41, just to try to capture this story of Joseph. But as I thought of the story of Joseph, I thought, surely there are people in our midst that can relate to Joseph's story. Now, you say, well, Jim, I'm not really in prison, and we're going to see his story, and he was in prison, but it was a lot more than that. But I will refer to this story because some of you will feel like it's been years I've been calling out to God and nothing's going right. As a matter of fact, it's been my commitment to try to be obedient to God and try to do what the Bible says, and I end up in prison for it. So I suspect there's people who feel a little like Joseph. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to look at the story of Joseph this morning. Could he or couldn't he? Part 6. I'm in Genesis 37 to begin with. I think most of you know Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph's the 11th one. Joseph is the favored. The 10 older one, they don't think too much of that. That's kind of where we pick it up. Genesis 37, first verse. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Now listen to this next phrase. Joseph, being 17 years old, Joseph is son 11, remember, 11th of the 12. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, his half-brothers. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel, that's Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. Because he was a son of his old age, also he, that's Jacob, made him, that's Joseph, a tunic of many colors. We know this part of it. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him, that's Joseph, more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. There's probably a message right in that, but I'm not going to go there today. And then the Bible says Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, this is the reason they hate him, because he explains to them the dream. Please hear the dream which I've dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around, and they bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. When you read through that, that's a whole lot of hate amongst brothers. That's a whole lot of hate. Probably could be a message in that too, but I'm not going to go there today either, so I'm going to press on. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, look, I've dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars all bowed down to me. So he told it to his fathers and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. I got to fast forward here because the story is several chapters long, but you know from this part, the brothers hated him. You know that he's still a teenager. He's a young man, very young man. You know that his father loved him the best. And so as the story goes on, Joseph gives the charge from his dad, go check on your older brothers because they're taking care of the flocks elsewhere. So he did that. They saw him coming with that brightly colored colt that his dad had made him, and they actually wanted to kill him. Matter of fact, they said as much when you read through the scriptures. Some of his brothers wanted to kill him. Fortunately, they didn't. They threw him in a pit. Oldest brother stood up for him and said, no, we can't kill him. So they threw him in a pit. They took some goat's blood, dipped his coat of many colors in the goat's blood, brought the coat back to Dad and said to Dad, is this your son's coat? Of course, everybody knew that it was. The boys, in fact, were lying to Dad because they knew what had happened to him. Dad figures bloody coat of many colors, a lion or a beast has torn my son and he is dead. So Joseph, in his absence, Jacob is just assuming he's dead and he goes into mourning. Fast forward to Genesis 39. Joseph is sold. He's pulled out of the pit that day by his brothers. He's sold to a bunch of Ishmaelite traders heading to Egypt who will in turn sell him as a household slave. Genesis 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, I want you to remember that because as you hear this story again, are reminded of the story again, as I mentioned earlier, I shall mention again, there are some of you that probably relate to Joseph today. Or if not today, you have related to his story sometime in your past. Don't forget that phrase. The Lord was with Joseph. He wasn't in Israel no more. He wasn't under the protection of his dad's home no more. He wasn't in the comfortable surroundings anymore. He's now become a household slave. Don't forget that part of that verse that says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he, that's Joseph, was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he, that's Potiphar, had in the house and in the field. Thus, he, that's Potiphar, left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. You know, sometimes, friends, life can take a turn that is quite unexpected in your life and mine. And we can find ourselves in that place and we can say, what's up with this, Lord? We find ourselves in that place where it seems like life has just taken a miserable turn. Whatever the circumstances you've had or are in, something unexpected, something clearly that you did not want. In his case, sold by his brothers as a slave into a foreign country. And there's these times in life when we get to that point, like Joseph, and we say, why in the world is this happening to me? Are you hearing me this morning, friends? We get to that place And we say, why? Why, Lord? Why? But Joseph realized that God was in Egypt too. Are you hearing me, friends? Joseph realized, I'm not in the comfort of Dad's house no more. I'm not in my nation no more. I can't even speak the language. But Joseph quickly realized that God is bigger than where he was. God was in Egypt too. And the story presses on. You know the story as well as I do. Joseph is doing such a good job. Potiphar just turns everything over to him. Potiphar doesn't have a care in the world about what's going on in his household because he knows this young man is going to take care of it. So while he's away, Potiphar's wife fancies this young fella. Tries to seduce him on many occasions. Joseph, still holding on to his integrity, still being faithful to God, refuses her advances on numerous occasions, said, how can I sin against God and my master this way? He could have taken the advantage of the situation, and he didn't. Well, after numerous attempts, you know the story, she gets mad at him for not getting her way. And when Potiphar comes back, she blames the rest of the servants and tells Potiphar, this young clown that you brought into here is trying to take advantage of me, so Potiphar throws him in prison. Genesis 39:20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Now look at the next verse, Genesis 39:21. Don't forget this. But the Lord was with Joseph. Are you with me, friends? All of a sudden, and it may not have thought of this the first night, it may not have thought this the first week, but all of a sudden Joseph realized God is in prison too. God is in my prison too. And the Bible goes on to say, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper in prison. Now let me bring us back to our application for a minute. Has there been a time in your life, and maybe some of you are going through this right now, everything seems to be going wrong? Are you with me? You sleeping on me this morning? Okay. Have you experienced, or are you experienced, you feel and you sense everything God or whoever will listen is going wrong? He could have felt that way, and maybe he did. But there come a time, even as a household slave and then a prisoner in an Egyptian prison, there come a time when Joseph realized, even in the everything is going wrong part of our lives, God is in that too. He realized, And we need to, from time to time, we need to be reminded that even though it seems like everything has gone wrong, that God is also in the everything that went wrong. Has there been a time when you have felt, this can't be the will of God for me? Household slave? Prisoner? You think there's a time when Joseph could have been feeling, God, this can't be your will for me? I think he probably felt that. And I think so have we. I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, the potter and the clay, sometimes fashioning hurts. Sometimes reshaping and molding is painful. But sometimes he's got to shape us to get us ready for what we're going into. Sometimes he's got to put that obstacle, if you will, in front of you, so we will wake up to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I see you now, I hear you, and I'm going to trust you. Sometimes these things are painful, and sometimes we've been the exact same place he has, thinking, could anything else go wrong? We've been there. And I'm submitting to you this morning, friends, that it's in when everything is going wrong, when we see God all over again, in the everything is going wrong. I got to press on because time is, I'm almost done, but the story isn't quite over. The story, as you read through it, I'm only going to read another verse. But as the story goes on, he's in prison. A couple of Pharaoh's right-hand men, so to speak, get thrown in prison. They have dreams. Joseph, by God's enabling, interprets the dreams and says, okay, I've done you this favor, because their dreams came true. I've done you this favor. Please, don't forget me here. Well, what's he get for a reward? He gets left in prison for a couple more years. But they eventually remembered him when Pharaoh has a dream. And they get Joseph out, they get him cleaned up, they get him a shave and some new clothes and bring him before Pharaoh. And by God's enabling grace, Joseph interprets that dream too. You remember the dream. Pharaoh's dream was these seven plump and good-shaped cows coming out of the Nile, then seven skinny ones coming up out of the Nile and consuming them. And then the other part of it, you remember the dream, and Joseph interprets it all. Pharaoh is pleased that someone can interpret this dream. He's pleased to understand, okay, we're going to have seven good years, really, really good years. Then we're going to have, apparently we're going to have, according to this guy's dream, we're going to have seven really, really bad years. So what do we should do? What are we going to do about that? So he puts Joseph in charge of all of Egypt, except for Pharaoh. So he goes from prisoner in the dungeon one day to second in command of the same day. Genesis 41:46 says this. I read this one just to make a point to bring it all together here in a minute. Genesis 41:46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout the land of Egypt. Did you catch that? 17 when he had the dreams. 17, 18 maybe. Let's say there was some months in there. 17, 18 when he goes off to see his brothers, and the brothers said, let's kill him. But they throw him in the pit. 17, 18. He's now 30. They took him out of prison. They clean him up. They give him a shave. They give him some new clothes. They stand him before Pharaoh and said, I think this guy can give you some help. He's now 30. 13 years of being a household slave and a prisoner or thereabouts. What's the point, Jim? What's the point today? Could God have kept Joseph out of prison? Yeah, he could have. Could God kept you out of yours? Yeah, he could have. But did God see something in Joseph's future that Joseph didn't see? I think he did. Does God see something in your future that right now you don't have any inkling or any clue about? I think he does. I don't know why, friends. I don't know why sometimes tough times happen, really, really ugly things happen. I know what Casey said about the book of Job, and I concur completely. We have an enemy. But I also see these times when these prisons of life happen. And I see in some cases these as times of refining and shaping us into that person that God wants to use. Or maybe some difficulty, maybe some challenge gets thrown our way because we haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to God, and all of a sudden it's like God loves me and I haven't been paying no attention to him, and so maybe this difficulty is because he loves me and he wants me to start following him. I don't know the reasons, but I know that he sees the future. I know that. And so he saw Joseph's future at 17. Joseph at 17 didn't know what was going to happen at 20. He didn't know what was going to happen at 25. He didn't know he was going to be in prison up until he was 30. At 17, he didn't know any of that. And when you read through the rest of the story, there is, in fact, 7 years of bounty and 7 years of plenty, and Joseph is storing all this stuff up, and then there's 7 more years, but 2 years into that, that puts him at 39. He's now 39 years old. He hasn't seen his brothers and his parents or his dad since he was 17, and at 39, all of a sudden, you know the story, the brothers are bowed down before him. At 17, he didn't know that. He had a dream. He wondered probably what in the world does that mean, but I kind of like it because it seems like my older brothers are going to have to listen to me at some point in life. But he didn't know at 17 what that was going to mean. And sometimes in the prison of your life's journey, you don't know what this prison is going to mean. My point today, friends, is God can be trusted in your trouble. 17 years old, 30 years old, there was 13 years. He's probably asking the question, God, have you abandoned me? God, do you hear any of my prayers? God, are you still with me? God, are you in Egypt? Are you even worse than that? Are you in a prison in Egypt? 13 years, 17 to 30, and God was molding that clay. He was fashioning that man. And when he got to 30, God shone forth in a powerful way. And all of a sudden, Joseph was elevated to the second in command in all of Egypt. You know, when you read the rest of that story, and I'm not going to read anymore, but when you read the rest of that story, the 7 years of lean happen. Joseph brings his family down. The brothers, his dad is still alive. He's 130 plus years old, 120, 30 years old. They bring them all down, put them in where there is some habitable places yet in Goshen. Well, eventually, Jacob dies, and the 10 brothers are still alive. And the 10 brothers are thinking, man, oh man. Now he's, by this time, Joseph is 50 or more, because the 7 years is over, and the other 7 years is over. That puts him at 44. And now the dad is still living, and then the dad dies. So now he's up around 50, and the older 10 are saying, he's going to kill us. He's now 50, and what they did at 17, they're still afraid for what he's going to do when they threw him in the pit at 17. And so they come to their brother after their dad has died. The buffer is gone now. The shock absorber is gone. Dad's dead, so who's going to protect us from Joseph? And so they come to Joseph and say, Dad said you should forgive us. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But they're looking out for their own hide. And Joseph, in Genesis 50 and 20, you know this verse, and you like it like I like it. Joseph simply says, what you meant for harm, God meant for good. And sometimes the prison of your life seems like your harm, friends. It seems like your harm. And in another translation, it said, you meant it for evil. And sometimes the 13 years or the 20 years or the 6 years, whatever it is, sometimes you're thinking, this is evil. And we get to that point in the story where Joseph is completely aware and completely convinced, but God meant it for good. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? You've got to trust him in the prisons of life. You've got to trust him when life isn't making sense. You've got to trust him when you think everything has gone wrong in my life. You've got to trust him when you think nobody else is going through this. You've got to trust him in those times of the prisons of life. And so let me close. Ladies, let's get ready to sing. Let me close with these two questions. Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Have you given him everything? Is he Lord? We're going to sing a song that reminds us. George Beverly Say wrote this song and used to sing it. I love this song. But it basically says, just give me Jesus, that's what I really want. That's what I really need. And friends, that's what we all need. And so question number one, have you completely surrendered to Christ as Lord? And if you have, some of you, the answer may be, Jim, I don't know. I really don't know if I have. I want to encourage you to get alone with God and get serious with him, real, real serious with him by faith. Surrender to him, repent of all sin, and claim him as Lord, and let him lead. And for the rest of us, the second question is, will you trust him in the prisons of life? I know Joseph had questions. I would have too. I've had questions in my own life. But he can be trusted in the prisons of life. He saw the other side. So you've got to trust him in the prisons of life. Amen? Amen. Isn't that good? Boy, I sure hope that's your heart's cry and your prayer, friends. I'd rather have Jesus. You know, we can gain the houses and the lands, and we can gain a lot of stuff, but if we don't have Jesus, none of it matters. I hope that's your heart's cry today. I hope that's your prayer. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the reminder of Joseph. I know that it hits home with some because I know the struggles of some, and I know they've been in what they would quantify as the prison of life. Help them never to forget the words that we just read, but God was with Joseph. But God, you are with them in the difficulties of life. Help them to keep trusting you, living for you, holding on to you, even when it seems like no prayers have been answered. God forgot in prison. Help us to keep trusting you, Lord. Help us to keep living for you. And help us always to have this song on our heart. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. So go with us today, Lord. encourage, strengthen, forgive us, save, redirect, whatever it is we need for those families that have lost loved ones, and we'll do funerals again this week. Draw them close to yourself, Father. And all the rest that are hurting in some way, draw them close, Lord. Help us to be so dependent upon you. We get to that place we just sung about. I'd rather have Jesus. Even though it seems like I'm in prison, just give me Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.